Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bav Metzia Daf Chaf Amud Aleph at the final Mishnah, Mishnah Chet of the first chapter of Perek Shnayim Ochazin. And this podcast will take us, as promised, to the end of the Perek. Again, dealing with different kinds of shtarot, as we had in Mishnah Zayin, that are found and under what circumstances and to whom they are returned. Matzah igrot shum v'igrot mazon. Igrot shum are appraisals done by the Beit Din to assess the value of the property of a love and for a lien. Igrot mazon are documents that are prepared by a husband as an example, as you see in the penultimate chapter of Masachik Tubot, when if he marries a woman who's already got children and he makes a commitment to take care of them, to feed them, that's called the Igrot Mazon. Shitrei Chalitza Umeunin, so if a woman is a Chalutza, she needs a shtar to indicate that she's now able to marry. Miun, as we dealt with at length in Masachet Yevamot, and also in Masachet Kitin and Kiddushin, a girl who is married off by her brothers or mother before age can just walk out on her husband at age 12, but she needs a shtar Miun to prove that she's available. All of those things that are found, v'shitrei birurin, we'll talk about what shitrei birurin means, v'chol maaseh betin, which is something that we dealt with quite a bit in the previous two sugyot, harei ze yachzir, you return it to the person whose name is on the shtar. Matza b'chafisa obedluskama. Now the way most of the Rishonim read this is, o tachri shel shtarot agudot shel shtarot. So in other words, if you found a shtar, a single shtar, in a pouch or a small bag, or you found a tachrich, meaning a roll of shtarot, or aguda shel shtarot, a bundle of shtarot, meaning that they have some sort of a siman, either by where it's found or that there's a few of them tied together, harei ze yachzir. V'chama aguda shel shtarot, so how many make an aguda? Shlosha k'shurin zavazef, there's three that are tied together. So they can't just be coincidentally near each other or close to each other, even rolled together, they have to be tied together, so they clearly were put together, and then somebody says, oh yes, I have those three shtarot, or four or five, or however many they are, but three or more. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he points out a nuance to this, which is, achad halove mishlosha. Let's say you find three shtarot, all of them have the same borrower, but three different lenders. Yachzir lalove, you return it to the love, because clearly they were together because they were the love shtarot, meaning he already paid, and now is holding these so that nobody will collect from him. Shlosha halovin min ha'echad, but if you have three different borrowers from one lender, then yachzir lamalvi, return it to the lender, because clearly they were his shtarot they were holding, and are not yet collected. Matzah shtar ben shteiro shtarotav. Let's say you find a shtar among the rest of your shtarot. Ve'eno de'amativo, you don't know what it is, been paid, not been paid. Yehemu nachad shiavo Eliyahu. You basically do nothing with it. Emyeshim ahen simponot, but if there is a simpon, which is a note of cancellation, you follow the lead on that. We'll see at the end of the Gemara what that means. So the first thing the Gemara is concerned with is what shitrei birurin, which was really the fifth item on our list of shtarot. What are shitrei birurin? So hacha targimu in Bavel, they explain that shitrei birurin is shitrei tanata, shtarot that list the different pleas that different litigants presented in court. Rabbi Yirmi Amar, but in Tveria in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yirmi explained that Zebor Elochad v'Zebor Elochad, it's a reference to the beginning of the third chapter of Sanhedrin, where we have the rule that we refer to as a Zabla, which is that if two litigants want to, each can put up somebody as a judge, and then the two judges choose a third judge, and that becomes the Beit Din that they all agree to accept. So the shtar that identifies who those people are, those are returned. So now we hear a story that we're familiar with. We saw it just a couple daf ago. Hahu gita dishtakach beidin of Rav Huna. There was a get that was found lying around in the Beit Din of Rav Huna. And it was identified as being executed in the town of Shvirei Mata. Shvirei, really, Mata is a town that's on the banks of the river. I'm Rav Huna, chashin on the Shnei Shviri. I'm concerned that there may be two different towns named Shviri, and we might not have the right person here, and we cannot give the get. But he did not say this as a psak. He said this as a concern, and they'll investigate how we see that, because I'm Rav Chista, the rabbi. Rav Chista, the younger colleague of Rav Huna, said to Rabba, the young student, Fuk ayein, u'orta boi la Rav Huna minach. Delorta boi la Rav Huna minach. You better look into the issue, because I know that Rav Huna, tonight, when we have the Beit Midrash session, is going to ask you what you think about this ruling. Nafak dak va'ashkach, so Rabba investigated. did not, and he found our Mishnah. It says called Masabetin or Izayachzir. You have to return the star. It's a star. It's a get that was executed in a Beitin. You have to return it. Rav Amram the Rabbah. Rav Amram turned to Rabbah and said, "Hey, Chipashit Mari Sur Mamona. How can you possibly infer a case of Isura, which is a get, from this Mishnah, which is about Mamonot? Mamonot, worse comes to worse, if you turn it to the wrong person, so money changes hands inappropriately. But here you could be taking an Eshet Ish and making a Mutalalma." So Amar the Rabbah turned around and said, "Tarda, you sleepy guy," or perhaps a stronger insult. Shitra Chalitzum Yunintan, the same Mishnah that we have that says Masa Beitin, also lists Shitra Chalitzum Yunin, which means even for Isurim, we're willing to say that the star should be returned. Paka Arza Devei Rav. And then we find out in the Beit Midrash, the beam that held it up, or the pillar that held it up, fell down. So Marmar Mishum Latoy Didi Paka, Marmar Mishum Latoy Didi Paka. Each one took credit and said, Rabbah said it was because he insulted me with this question. Rav Amram said it was because he insulted me with the way he responded and called me Tarda. That's why it fell, and it was a fell in my honor. Okay. Matzah b'chafisa b'dluskama. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. My chafisa. What is a chafisa? Rabbah b'chara chemat ktana, small leather pouch. My dluskama. So what's a dluskama? I'm a Rabbah b'shmuel tlika desavi, a kind of bag that the old men keep. So the next piece in the Mishnah is if you find a roll or a bundle. Tana Rabbanan, kamahu tachrich shel shtarot. So how many make a roll? Shlosha kruchin zebazef. Three are rolled together. Hami agudah shel shtarot. How much is a bundle? Shlosha kshurin zebazef. Three tied together. So shaman mina kesher siman. This is something we'll deal with in the next chapter. Whether a proper siman to identify that something belongs to you, say that's tied together, whether or not that's a siman. But that's a machloket. So if you say the three that are tied together, you can identify and get back, that means kesher is a siman. So Atan Rabbi Chiya, shlosha kruchin zebazeh. So Rabbi Chiya actually did not understand that an aguda is kshurin zebazeh, but rather that they're rolled together. So if that's the case, then tachrich shtarot and agudah shtarot is both three shtarot rolled together. What's the difference between them? The answer is tachrich kochad b'chad b'roshet achavrei. Basically, they're all lined up together, one and then the next one underneath it, the next one underneath it, and rolled that way. Agudah d'ramu adadi u'kruchot. Then agudah means you lay them one on top of the other and roll them. So in other words, they're rolled in different ways. So my machriz, the question is, if you find this, what are your machriz so that the person who identifies it is clearly the owner who has information about it that somebody else wouldn't know? That's what the whole point of a siman is. The first answer is minyan. You come and say, I found three shtarot, and I identified. So my ir yatlata, if that's the case, so why do you have three? Afilu trei nami. So if that's the case, even if you found two, you should be able to say, I found two shtarot and the guy can identify it. Like Ravina said in the next parak, he says that you announce, I found coins. That's in a different context. You announce, I found shtarot. Then the guy has to come and say how many it is, and from there we go from there. Alright, so Moshim Gamliel says what we sort of instinctively felt, that if all three shtarot belong to the same borrower, that's who you return it to. If you think it belonged to the three lenders, so my bagabayadadi, then why were these three shtarot together? If they belong to three lenders and they really should still be held by the lenders, why are they together? So the answer is dilmalikyu miniazli. No, maybe the three lenders happened to come to Beitin at the same time to be Mekayim the shtar, and they sent them together and tied them together. So the answer is dimekayimi. We're talking about shtarot that are already Mekuyam. They already have a henpek of Beitin. So dilmiyadad is safranafu. Maybe they all fell from the hand of the sofer after he was Mekayim them. The answer is, Lomashi inish kiyuma biyada de safra. A person will not leave a shtar mekuyim in the hands of the sofer. He'll get it back. So this is clearly shtarot of the love that he already paid up and he got back and they've already been paid. Now, shlosha shalovim yachad yachsu lamalva. But if you have three different people who borrowed from one guy and that's the shtarot, then you return it to the malva. Why do you sakadai tachtalomi ninu my bauga biyadadi? Same question. If you think they belong to the borrowers, why are they all together? Three different borrowers. I dilma levichtavinu azli. Maybe they were being sent to be written. So because you see, the answer is you see that they're written in three different handwritings. So they weren't written by one sofer. So they really clearly belong to one malve who borrowed lent money to three different guys. Maybe they were all being taken together by the Lova to be Mekayim. Well, that makes no sense. Malva Mekayim Shtari. Lova Mekayim Shtari. It's the Malva who wants to be Mekayim the Shtar. Because he wants to be able to collect his money. So there's no way that the Lovim are going to be going and taking these three Shtarot together to be Mekayim the Shtar. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, Yeshim hen Simponet, Yasem Hashem Simponet. Amar of Yirmiya bar Amar Marav. Simpon hayotze mitachat yidei Malva. If a Malva has a Shtar, and he also has a Simpon in it, that indicates that it was already paid. Avish gatu b'chtav yado. Even if it's written in his own hand, we'll see why that's less obvious. Eino elokim esachek. We don't take it seriously. Upasul. The simpon is pasul, and we say that the debt has not yet been paid, and the star is still alive. Lo mi baya gatu b'chtav yad sofer. Certainly, if it was written by a sofer, you see it in the proper calligraphy. Tikalamemer safri drami lebchatav. Because there you could explain, yeah, he happened to bump into a sofer and said in advance, write the simpon, because when the guy pays me, so I'll have it. El afilo katub b'chtav yado. Even if he wrote it himself, which you would assume he only wrote if he already got paid, pasul. Why? Savradil mitrami v'ati ben hashvashot. The reason he wrote it is maybe the lova is going to find me Friday afternoon, and he'll be willing to pay me, but he won't pay me unless I give him a simpon, and so I have it written. He's about to pay me back. And if I don't give the simpon, he won't pay me. I'll write one now and have it ready. When he comes with the money, I'll be able to give it to him. So therefore, even though there's a simpon, but the malva has the simpon, it means nothing. Tanan, if the lova produces the simpon, it's a different story. But our Mishnah says that if you find a star that has a simpon with it, you should follow it, which means a simpon. Remember, we're saying this is a shtar that could be go back to the lova, to the malva. Nonetheless, you follow the simponot. Rav Safra shim savin shtarot kruin. Rav Safra, in another context that we'll see in 1 minute, says it's talking about a case where you found the shtar with the simpon. Contextually, you know that it was paid because it was found among other shtarot that were torn up. They were torn up because they were already paid. Now let's see where he originally said it. Toshma nimtza lechad bein shtarotav shtaro shel Yosef ben Shimon parua. If he found among his other shtarot a shtar of Yosef ben Shimon that was paid, shtarot shnehem pruin, then we say that both shtarot of Yosef ben Shimon are paid. How do we know that? So that was the original context where he said, if it's found among already paid shtarot, then context tells you that that this one is also paid. So in our case, with the simpon, it was found among shtarot that were already paid, and we know that because they were torn. Now, Toshma, Shvua Shalop Gadanu Abba, this is a Mishnah in the seventh parak of Shvuot. If heirs take an oath that said, Father never directed us to make a payment. Shalom, Arlanu Abba, Vishalom, Atzanam, Shtar, Otav, Shal Abba. Shashtar, Zeparua. Here's a star, and Father never told us, that there was a debt out here. Rav Safra, Shimzab, and Shtar, Otkrui. Now that's where Rav Safra says, how do we know that this star has already been paid? Because it's found among other starot that are paid. Alright, Toshma, Simpon, Sheshalav, Edim. If a Simpon, where there's Edim on the Simpon. That's what we think. Then the simpon is good if we can corroborate that the signatures. So that seems to tell us that a simpon that the malva has is good. Now, it doesn't mean the signatures on the simpon. Rather, the signatures, what we do is we're going to use the guys who signed it and the shailinan lehu, the sadi paru. We ask them, did he really pay it? You signed the simpon. Did he really pay it or not? Ilo parua. Okay, Toshma, Simpon Sheshalav Edim Kasher. If you have a Simpon with Edim, it's Kasher. Now, my Edim, what are you talking about? Ede Kiyum. Has to be Ede Kiyum. Meaning Edim that corroborate that the signature is good. Hachinam Mistaber has to be Nukhtani Seif and Sheshalav Edim Pasul. If there are no Edim, then it's Pasul. So, my Nalav Edim, what do you think that means? Ilem Adaleka Ilave Edim Klal. You think there's no Edim at all on it? So, Tzrichalam Edim Pasul. You have to tell me that if there's no Edim, it's Pasul. That's a no-brainer. Alav Ede Kiyum. It must be that there's no edikium. So without edikium, it's pasul. With edikium, it's kasher. Now gufa simpon sheshalav edim itkayim achotamav en alav edim v'yotzei mitachet yidei shalish. This is an addition. If there are no edikium on it, but it yotzei mitachet yidei shalish, the simpon is presented by a third party, a middleman. Oh, sheyotzei lachar chitum shtarot, or the simpon is on the shtar underneath where the edim signed, kasher. Why? After all, the lender believes the middleman, and therefore if the middleman is holding the simpon, we have to believe him that it means that it was really paid. Also, if the simpon is written underneath the edim signature on the shtar, right, if it weren't for the fact that it was paid, he would not have given his star a deficiency by having the simpon written at that spot. So therefore, we have to believe it's paid, and therefore, even if there are no edikim, then the star is considered paid, and the malva can no longer sue with it. It's very exciting. We have finished the study of the first parak of Masachet Bava Metzia. In the next podcast, we will begin the very famous second parak of Bava Metzia, parak Elu Metziot. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.